Well, God bless you. Tonight, I want to kind of follow up on that song title, What the World Needs Now is Love. Because without love, this world stands no chance. And without your love, your world stands no chance at all. Love sees all. Love believes all that is good. Love endures. Love sustains. Love does not reckon evil. And love always begins with John 3:16. God so loved the world. Jesus carried that love all the way to Calvary. And you and I, indeed the entire world, are the beneficiaries of that kind of love that would go to the cross. He did it, and Jesus only had to do it once and for all. If we only love those that love us, we have a nice circle of love. Bravo. If we love those that don't love us, then we begin to start moving into Jesus' territory. Love is light, turned up to its brightest level. When you can love the leper, you can hug him. When you love your enemy, you confound him. There's nothing for him to say. He either makes the choice or he doesn't, but at least he had a chance. Love goes all the way. Love does not stop at obstacles. Love obliterates obstacles. Love does not limit an unlimited God of love. When we embrace the fullness of this love from God, then we will truly be disciples of the Master. You can love no larger than you yourself are loved. So we must perceive, reckon, and embrace this love from God so that we will all be able to reflect what we embrace. You know what? Time is short. The day is at hand. So let's love today like we've never loved before. That love of God is born within you, and it's constantly being poured over you, out of you, in you, and is the very thing. And in the end, only love will have mattered. So I want you to take your Bibles, please, and go to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is saying something here that's really quite significant. And I actually do not have the verse where it begins, but it says, however, I say to you, love your enemy, bless the one who curses you, do something wonderful for the one who hates you, and to respond to the very ones who persecute you by praying for them. For that will reveal your identity as children of your Heavenly Father. He is kind to all by bringing the sunrise to warm and rainfall to refresh whether a person does what is good or evil. So you look up that context and the verses. I think it's from the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus was talking. But really something. But you know, we got to take into consideration the kind of world that we live in. And it's all nice and good and well for you, Barney, to say that all the world needs love is love, love, love. And you know, but once you get out in that world, you know what? The world is not a nice place. And it doesn't take long to learn that if you're going to survive, you got to be tough. And a lot of people have toughened themselves up to be able to survive. I'm not sure that's necessarily God's way. Somebody once said the school of hard knocks is a harsh teacher. And most people graduate with a degree in hard-heartedness. Well, you know what? A hard heart does not have much room for kindness. You know, folks, COVID is not the only deadly virus that we are coping with today. You think it would be, for sure. But it's not the only deadly virus that we are coping with today. We are contending with a pandemic of meanness that creates an atmosphere of anger, hatred, and an atmosphere of disrespect and irreverence that has become the norm. You ever experienced some of this? You ever seen somebody who just seems that people just seem to be angry? They seem to be on edge. And this is the culture, the atmosphere that the enemy has created, designed in fear and framed in self, S-E-L-F. And when selfishness rules, kindness is absent. because kindness requires the destruction and abolition of self. You know, in the United States in particular, in today's culture, kindness is missing in action. Hard, harsh humor, criticism, judging others, gossip, selfishness, and more are all evidence of the hard-heartedness in our country. Selfishness is on display everywhere. If I have to hurt you to get what I want, if I have to curse you out to let you know I am serious, if I react on social media with hate and animosity because I disagree with someone, or find ways to cancel others so their thoughts and opinions don't matter, this is a product of the self syndrome. When you are focused on yourself, you cannot see the needs of others, and it all contributes to the atmosphere of meanness and hatred. This is really interesting. I took that from an article one of my our core brothers wrote that I recently saw online. But I just wanted to share that with you because it just seems to be so timely, because we see people racing and rushing and angry, and you see on the freeway people are doing all sorts of things and, you know, road rage and all this sort of thing. And, you know, what's the solution? Well, you know, in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it's a good place, I think, to start, because there's a characteristic of God. Then we're gonna get to the birth of Jesus. But there's a characteristic of God I just want to take a couple of moments to look at. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, I'm probably not reading from the King James. In verse 4, it says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" I think in the King, what does that version say?
King James.
The goodness of God?
The goodness of God.
Yeah. Do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, knowing not that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? That's the King James Version. And this is a particular word that we want to begin to sort of look at tonight, and it's spelled C-H-R-E-S-T-O-T-E-S. And kind of cute, because if you can say the words crayon, taut, and aces at one time, that's really good, because what you're going to find is this word is pronounced cray, staut, ace. So crayons, taut, and aces. The word Christoses, cray, staut, ace, cray, staut, ace, cray, staut, ace. But it's defined as a generous, warm-hearted, friendly nature, sweet, mild, full of graciousness, and it's a virtue that pervades and penetrates the whole nature, that mellows anything harsh or austere. It's a big word. You know what? Kindness is willing, ready to do good, and expresses itself in deeds toward another person. That verse in Romans chapter 2 is really cool, because we've come to see it as the goodness of God leads a man to repentance. It's not the fear of God, the fear of going to hell, the fear of, you know, burning in eternal hellfire because of your sins. The message of God's word from Genesis to Revelation is the love of God, and the greatest example of that was the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the red thread that works its way all the way through the Bible. You know, God is very kind. He's tolerant towards people. And it's that kindness that finally works in them and opens their eyes to the truth and leads them to that place of repenting, having a change of heart. That's what the word repentance means. And you know what? It's the kindness that we show to others that warms their hearts and gets them also to turn to God. You know, Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, that God is kind even to the unthankful and to the evil. Remember that? He says he makes the sun to shine on the
just and the evil.
Exactly. So he's kind. Ephesians 4:32 says it's the responsibility of every believer, remember, to be kind to others. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. This is a direct exhortation from God. He knows what he's talking about for our greatest blessing. And then if you read in 1 Corinthians 13, the characteristics of the love of God, in verse 4 of that chapter, 1 Corinthians 13:4, you've probably read it before and heard it. It says, love is what? Kind. And there's another interesting thing here too, is in Galatians 5:22, which is the kind of the list of the things that the Spirit of God produces in an individual, we read that kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And it's an essential ingredient to being godly. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, all those things, all nine of them, Galatians 5:22. This fruit of the Spirit illustrates the character of Christ, and it is the target that we should all be learning and aiming for, that we would bring that out in our lives. And this fruit is produced in us as we live according to that new nature that we've been given that has been created inside of us. So it's a really wonderful thing that you got there, the list of the fruit.
Read that also.
Yeah, amazing. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Incredible. So that fruit that's within us is a byproduct of the Spirit nature, which was given to us through the kindness of God. Amazing. Seed wants to produce. Seed wants to produce. We have the seed of Christ within us. It wants to flourish and blossom and bear fruit. Such a great, great topic, guys. Why don't you take your Bibles, turn to Titus chapter 3, please. And I want to read a section that was recently kind of revealed to me, I guess. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. We'll start there. It's really something. I kind of put together my own little translation of the New International Version and the Phillips Translation. You can follow along in whatever version you have there. And it says, but when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind, what? Appeared. He pulled us out of the darkness and made us whole, not on the basis of deeds or virtue of our own doing, but according to his mercy. And, you know, his mercy, he withholds his judgment, and we benefit from not getting what we do deserve, right?
Right.
But according to his mercy and by the cleansing power of the new birth and in renewal by the Holy Spirit, which he gave to us so generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, with the end result that we are now children of God and joint heirs with Christ, bound for an eternal destination. This section of Scripture, I know there's a lot of information in there. And so what I really want to get kind of focusing on is the very beginning there. It says, but when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared. Well, the testimony of the Scriptures is always that God has been loving and kind, and he knows what's going on. And so I think it only makes sense that this is referring to the birth of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared where? He appeared in Bethlehem with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He became a living being. And you see this characteristic, which is kindness, and then you see the characteristic of kindness in action, which is what? The sending of Jesus Christ, his birth, his life, his ministry, his death, all of it. That was a great act of kindness towards mankind. Yes, it required the sacrifice of Jesus, which was an incredible price to pay. But look what that kindness and love and care and all of those things brought to mankind. And it says that when God's kindness and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. So why is salvation or our wholeness characterized by kindness? Well, again, let's go back to that word. Remember crayons, taut, and aces? Well, those things have nothing to do with kindness, but if you pronounce them and saying this word, you'll get it. And it sounds like crayons, taut, aces. And Galatians 5:22, which we just read, lists it as a fruit of the Spirit, and it's that same word that's used in the Titus passage. And it's that word that we render in English as kindness. And so what does that mean? We often think of being kind as like just having a nice disposition, getting along with everybody, maybe doing acts or having a certain gesture. But the scriptures, from what I see and from what I've understood and worked from the word a little bit, is it's talking about acting for the good of another person. Mm-hmm. This Christos, it's a selfless kind of love and kindness which looks for nothing in return. And it's about serving where there's a need. I have a great example that just happened yesterday. Vicki and I were at a memorial service for a gentleman who was married to Vicki's cousin, Shirley. His name was Jerry, and went to the service. Just really something in a country church. But what I saw is he performed these acts of kindness without anybody even knowing about it. He wasn't prompted to do them other than by the Spirit of God. If he heard a need, he might pull out $200 or $300 and just put it in the pastor's hand. He saw a need in the church or whatever. He would provide materials in the building of the church and just a lot of things like that. And so that became just a really cool example of what kindness can really be. It's like not just saying the words, but actually doing something about it. It's about serving where there's a need. Mm-hmm. So, you know, salvation, God showed kindness and salvation by acting what? On our behalf and for our good. He offered a sacrifice for us instead of us. Mm-hmm. Honestly, not expecting anything in return for the act. Is he blessed that we responded to his act of kindness? Absolutely. Does he require it? No. The sacrifice is made on behalf of all mankind, but it benefits those who are going to accept the gift of God's kindness. You know what? He met our need. And having salvation is much more than just being nice. It is just a tremendous example of God's kindness that goes a lot deeper than just being nice. So, little exhortation is, you know, while God develops this fruit of kindness in your heart during this season and other times of the year, every day and days to come, you know, we can be aware, we can be sensitive to those that we can show kindness to. Not just being nice to people, but genuinely having compassion and then taking action in that moment based on who we are, that fruit. And so we can think about the differences between being nice and showing kindness, genuine, heartfelt action on behalf of and for the good of others. And you know what? As we begin to move forward and walk and are sensitive to the Spirit of God, this fruit of the Spirit will develop in us. All those things we read, love, joy, peace, goodness, long-suffering, temperance, kindness. Mm-hmm. What the world needs now is love, and love is expressed in kindness. So let's take the opportunities to express that nature of who we are. Amen? Because we are known. The thing that Jesus said to his disciples is that all men shall know you because of what? The love that you have to one another. Well, I know that we get the impression that the disciples were always fighting and arguing and couldn't get along, but you know what? They had a heart for each other. And Jesus had a greater vision than they did in that moment, but I think as time went on, they began to see the greater realities of that which he said. So we can be the greatest lovers this world has ever seen. We got God working within us. Because, guys, like I said in the beginning, I'm not going to read this all again, but without love, this world stands no chance. Without your love, your world stands no chance at all. The world is in dire need of not just talking about love, but seeing examples and the fruit of what love and kindness can really do in your life, my life, and in the people's lives that God directs us to. Mm-hmm. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for opportunities day by day, Father, to not just play with things on the surface, so to speak, but be really sensitive to the way you work on our hearts and in our lives to express and extend the love of God to our families, our earthly families, to those we live with maybe, to those we talk about or talk with every now and then. And during this time, maybe families get together. Maybe there's been stress and strain and all sorts of other things going on. But we just pray, Father, that we can rise above any of that because of who Jesus Christ made us to be. And we can really bring to this world exactly what's needed. A knowledge of the God of love and a God of goodness. And we pray, Father, for this holiday season, for everybody's life, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Yeah.